Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She is one of three crazy people. Okay, maybe not certifiably crazy, but they've done some pretty outrageous things in their lives. For example, at the age of 21 and a full-time graduate student, Dr. Jennifer owned a gymnastics studio with 10 employees. Jessica Labby, our co-host, once jumped out of an airplane at 20,000 feet and managed to land on her feet. And then there's Mike, our producer, who likes to say that working with musicians makes every day crazy. Put these three together and anything can happen. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
You jumped out of a plane?
I did. It was so exciting.
Wow.
You couldn't pay me to do that.
What did it feel like? How did you land?
Well, when I first jumped out, it was pretty harsh because you're going against gravity, obviously. And, you know, I was trying to talk and smile and my cheeks are going, you know, until the guy on my back pulled the chute. And then looking out, it was like being in a dream and you were observing everything around you.
Very cool.
It was awesome. Yeah. And I landed on my feet. Perfect landing. Yeah. And the guys that I went with, they had all been before several times and they all fell.
Oh. So that's pretty cool. You were the cool chick that day
I was.
Huh? Nice. Well, we're here today to talk about a very commonly misunderstood yet prevalent condition in our society, and that is arthritis. We'll specifically talk about a form of arthritis called osteoarthritis. Do you guys know what that is?
Well, yeah, what is it?
Do you
Tell
know
us,
Mike?
Jennifer.
Okay. Have you heard of that?
I have, yes.
Okay. Osteoarthritis is degeneration of the joint cartilage with changes in the actual bone. So it's also referred to as degenerative joint disease. So
and what causes that?
Well, Jessica, actually, the most common reason that people have been told is it's wear and tear of the joints. And that actually is not correct. It can be abnormal wear and tear of the joints, and most often it's caused by spinal misalignment.
You always think of older people getting that. Is that true?
Well, it is true that it's more prevalent as you age, but you know what's interesting is we can detect osteoarthritis on x-ray, and I have had people in their early 30s with obvious arthritis in their spine. I recently had a gentleman who was 75 years old with no arthritis in their spine.
Wow. Is it caused by trauma? Does that make it set in?
Well, it can be trauma. Yeah. It can be a repetitive motion if the spine is not healthy, so if it's already misaligned. And there's other causes as well, so we'll get into that. What I want to really focus on right now is how the picture we have of osteoarthritis, especially what's presented to us by most doctors, is actually not a complete picture. And so because of that, the public is very confused. And a lot of people are just told, oh, you have arthritis, with really no concept of what they can do to stop the process or to feel better with any pain or lack of motion that they have from it. And what's interesting is that, you know, oftentimes arthritis is referred to as like the analogy of a mechanical joint that just eventually wears out. Mm-hmm. And that is not accurate because this is interesting. Our joints actually don't just wear out. They continuously repair themselves. We have a built-in repair mechanism that's stimulated by movement in our joints.
So if that's the case, then why can't it just repair itself and then the osteoarthritis can just magically disappear?
Well, it will. Your joints will repair themselves provided they are healthy. If the joint is lined up properly and the synovial membranes are moving properly, the joint can repair. It's when there's misalignment or some type of damage in the joint where it can't repair itself. And, you know, we've talked about how all body tissues eventually replace themselves, and that does include bone and cartilage. It takes longer than, say, the blood, mm-hmm. but it does replace itself. And what happens is, to answer your question, Jessica, this turnover mechanism, something will go wrong. And basically what happens, instead of repairing healthy cells, the cartilage of the joint can get built up. And basically, instead of having this nice, smooth bone, it becomes chaotic and something called pitting, if you can imagine pits in the bone, and bony outgrowths, which are like bone spurs, actual extensions off the bone.
Yeah, so you hear people getting their a knee scraped or something. Is that what?
Yes,
that
is? Exactly.
They're removing that extra.
That's exactly it. Because yeah. osteoarthritis actually happens most commonly in weight-bearing joints. So think your hips, your even your finger joints, your spine, and your knees are the most common. And really, the cause of osteoarthritis is immobilization. So a joint is no longer moving. And we've talked about subluxation, where that literally will stop a joint from moving properly.
See, I would think it would be the opposite, from moving too much.
See, and that's exactly where the confusion comes in, because oftentimes people think, well, I'm arthritic, I should stop moving. And that actually makes the problem worse. The ideal situation is get everything lined up as best you can and then start to move, because it's the movement that will help the joint to repair itself.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because occasionally, I'll tweak my wrist or my arm from working out, and it feels better after I move it. Like I automatically want to rest it, but when I move it again, start working out again, it seems the pain goes away.
Yeah, you actually start to lubricate the joints and activate the chemicals in the joint, and the movement can actually help.
Absolutely.
Now, what's interesting is there's a lot of people who have arthritis and have no idea.
I had no idea.
That's right.
Until I started working for your office.
And at your young age, I mean,
she's
especially relative to Mike, your young age.
Hey.
You would expect, that would be surprising to find arthritis in your spine. Mm-hmm. But if I remember right, Mike, when we checked your spine, you actually didn't really have any signs of arthritis.
Yeah, I'm pretty much perfect,
you're 12 or 13 years older than Jessica.
Something like that.
And that's a good example of
where. Well, Jessica's only 19, so that's okay.
Thank you, Mike.
But the first onset, if you do finally get symptoms, usually starts off with slight morning stiffness. People just wake up and feel stiff in the morning. And then it usually progresses, especially to worsen in damp weather. There actually is some truth with that. And then people will notice that they have pain with certain motion, and it tends to worsen with prolonged activity. So what's interesting is, did you know that over 1 in 5 adults have been diagnosed with arthritis?
That's a lot.
Yeah, and you would think there's probably maybe double that actually have arthritis. But over 1 in 5 adults have been diagnosed. And I've seen anywhere from 20 to 40 million people, depending on what you read.
That's a lot of folks.
That is a lot of folks.
That's kind of scary. I met a guy once. He was very, very old. And he was on the waiting list for a kidney transplant because he had taken so much Advil over his lifetime from arthritis. You know, they told him take ibuprofen for the pain, and he damaged his organs.
He's probably taking 20 a day or something. Yeah,
it's true that Advil is one of the NSAIDs. So NSAIDs stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So in that class of drugs would be aspirin, Advil, Aleve, Excedrin, Nuprin, Mitil, and Motrin, and they're all given to help stop inflammation in a joint, or at least relieve the symptoms of that. But you're right, the long-term side effects is it can affect blood pressure, kidneys, and stomach acid. So, there's side effects such as nausea, cramps, indigestion, diarrhea, constipation, being sensitive to sunlight, nervousness, confusion, drowsiness, headache, ulcers, stomach bleeding, sore throat or fever, swelling of the fingers, hands, feet, weight gain, urinary problems, and high blood pressure.
We'll pass on all of that. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's well known that if you take especially like Tylenol or Advil over long periods of time, it can cause a significant decrease in liver function, and it can harm the kidneys. So how these NSAIDs work is they actually block prostaglandins that cause pain. But the thing is, those prostaglandins are also responsible for, like I said, the regulation of blood pressure, blood coagulation, kidney regulation, and also secreting gastric acid. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that really is interesting. There's growing evidence that these NSAIDs, so the aspirin, the Advil, Aleve, that they actually inhibit the cartilage repair process. So remember I said your body is always repairing. So they can inhibit that, and they can accelerate the cartilage destruction.
Yikes.
So short term, even if they relieve pain, long term, they're actually causing the problem and making it worse.
Wow, people don't know that. Now they do, though.
Well, and it's interesting when you understand how oftentimes medical intervention in some ways actually can promote the disease itself. And this is an example of that. There was another bit of research that talks about how there's growing evidence that NSAIDs actually can inhibit the synthesis of proteoglycans. And what you need to know about proteoglycans is they're important molecules that attract water to the cartilage. So this is how the cartilage can not repair if the water's not being attracted. So in other words, these pills that you take to block the osteoarthritis pain mm-hmm. may actually play a role in causing osteoarthritis. And this is interesting. You know, we talked about in workshops in the past, Vioxx. Remember the drug Vioxx?
Yes.
That was actually pulled off the market. It was oftentimes prescribed for arthritis pain, but it was pulled off the market because there was a higher incidence of heart attacks and strokes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You know, even if a drug appears to work, there are side effects. You know, even aspirin, we talked about aspirin as an NSAID, in a very therapeutic dose is pretty high. It's like 2 to 4 grams a day. That in and of itself, though, over time can cause tinnitus or ringing in the ears or gastric irritation because of the toxicity of the aspirin over time. And it's interesting how often I'll have patients come in who have obvious arthritis in their spine, and they'll also say they have tinnitus. And so I'll ask them, do you take aspirin? Oh, yes, I take it faithfully every day, and I've done that for 25 years. And there can be a correlation. Other people choose, instead of an NSAID, to take acetaminophen, the most common being Tylenol. And again, over long periods of time, it causes a significant decrease in liver function and it can harm the kidneys.
So people think that because they're getting rid of the symptoms, that it's helping them when it's not. That's really sad.
Well, and really the key, and we're going to look at this after the break, is nutrition and other natural therapies that enhance the body's own response towards health.
Nice.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Welcome back. We're talking about osteoarthritis, and we've discovered that taking prescription or over-the-counter medication may not be the long-term best answer for arthritis.
Sounds that way.
But there is some things that you can take. And, you know, it's been interesting in my 14-year career that over the past decade, there has been a lot of really interesting research and natural supplements that have been created that do make a difference for a lot of people with osteoarthritis. One of them being glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. And more people have heard about that. What happens is this is a supplement that actually can help your body repair damaged joints. What it does is the glucosamine stimulates the manufacture of the cartilage components or the substances that, you know, are necessary for joint repair. So what they do is they give a protective effect against joint destruction and help repair it. And the studies that have been done comparing them to help with pain and inflammation compared to NSAIDs shows that they can be good or better. The difference is, though, they take longer for your body to utilize. So you have to be on a good supplement for about 3 months to notice the benefits.
My husband takes that when he works out.
Does he? And the thing is, if there's a biomechanical cause that's happening, if the joint's not aligned, of course, it's not going to fix that, but it can help repair the damage and help with the pain. And the good thing is no prescription is needed. Another great substance that you can take is omega fatty acids. You know, and this is becoming more and more well understood in our society that fish oil fights inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can benefit. And I noticed that people with arthritis, if they're taking a good high quality fish oil along with some form of antioxidant supplement, that their pain levels can go way down. So that's something to consider. And then I want to talk about food sensitivities because, you know, this is really interesting. Over the years, as we've talked about in prior podcasts, I've led many nutritional cleanses. And I always have my clients do a long survey to discuss their body situation, how they're feeling and what's going on with their body. And then we do one afterwards. And it's basically a metabolic syndrome questionnaire. And what we have found is that it is extremely common when people take certain foods out of their diets that their pain, inflammation, arthritic type symptoms tend to go away. Jessica, you had something like this happen to you too, didn't you?
Yeah, just recently, actually. In the last couple of years, I've noticed my knees, I will wake up and my knees will be aching. And I think, you know, was I on the computer too long last night? Did I work out a certain way that aggravated my knees? So I did all these experiments trying to make different lifestyle changes and it didn't work. I couldn't figure out a pattern. And I've been off and on wheat for a long time. And finally it hit me that it was the wheat. You know, I suspected it. And then I did one more experiment with it. And sure enough, as soon as I had wheat, I woke up the next day and my knees ached.
Wow. So when you're staying off wheat, your knees are fine?
Yeah. Yeah. It took me 2 years to figure this out. But
well, you know, wheat can, for a lot of people, it can create inflammation in the body. And if there's already some arthritis there, I could see how.
Yeah. I've had a lot of ski injuries. So
have you?
I'm not surprised.
It would inflame you. Yeah.
And you're a daredevil, aren't you?
I used to be. I've mellowed out a little bit.
Well, wheat is one of the most common sensitivities that people will notice inflammation in their body. I also find it with dairy. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. And even with corn, I'll notice people who work to take corn out of their diet, and not just, you know, corn on the cob, but if you look on packages, corn syrup or corn products, corn flour. Yeah. And some people are really quite sensitive to it. For some people, it's eggs. For some people, it's meat, especially red meat. But probably one of the most common ones is nightshade vegetables. Now, I think we've mentioned this in another podcast, but nightshades are the classification of mostly vegetables that includes tomato, white potato, colored peppers like green pepper, red pepper, eggplant. And then actually tobacco and Motrin have the same chemical structure that would put them in this class. And what happens is some people have a sensitivity to those foods, and they find that if they eat them, especially in a moderate quantity, that they find that they're feeling more achy. And I actually experienced this myself. I tested it, and I found that if I have, say, you know, pasta with a lot of tomato sauce on it, I will feel just slightly achy the next morning when I wake up.
That's interesting.
And I'll have people during tomato season, you know, come in and, oh, I'm so achy, I woke up and everything hurt. And I'll say, wow, have you had tomatoes lately? And I have one woman in particular who has a big garden say, oh, I've been eating them like apples.
Yeah.
And finally, and she didn't want to believe me because, you know, who wants to give up your prized tomatoes? And it took about 3 years where she would come in, you know, cyclically and complain of being arthritic. And I would say, so have you been eating your tomatoes? Yes, they just harvested. I'm eating them like apples. So, you know, she kind of recognizes it. And I don't know if she'll completely give up tomatoes, but at least she sees
she'll
the correlation.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you can cut back. So the way to determine a food is you really need to do a food elimination diet. You know, either pick one food, say it's wheat or corn or tomato, and completely eliminate it in all forms of it for a good 1 week. 2 weeks is even better. And then after that period of time, take a day where you have a considerable amount and then just notice how your body feels. And if you have a sensitivity, you'll notice right away, you'll feel a difference. And then you can choose depending on the severity of it, if we want to completely eliminate it or try to monitor it. And for some people, even citrus fruits, which seems interesting, that can cause arthritic symptoms. Yeah.
Really?
And for some people, nuts. And then Mike, for some people, coffee.
Coffee. I'll live through the pain. I can't do without coffee.
Interesting. A lot of people say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, even trying one or two of those foods for a few weeks and noticing how your body feels can make a difference. And what's interesting, though, is oftentimes the one food that your body has a sensitivity to is the one food you crave the most.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing about that.
Funny.
We always want what we can't have, right?
Oh, I still crave cake.
Cake. Well, and then lastly, we talked about the importance of movement to keep the joint healthy. And there's two ways that your joints can start to degenerate from not moving. One is a very localized way, and one is a more general way. The general way that your spine can suffer from lack of movement is just not moving, just not exercising. So people, you know, who as they get busy with their lives, get into a rhythm where they're just not moving much. You know, I guarantee, yeah, there's people that literally, get up, take a shower, sit at the kitchen table, maybe sit on the couch, go sit in their car to go to work, to sit at a desk, to come home and sit at the table again, sit in the chair, watch TV, and go to bed. I mean, think of how many different movements you go through just sitting down and standing up. I mean, maybe leaning down to pick up a tissue off the floor, you have a little twisting in your body. But for the most part, there's people that literally, if you think of the planes of movement that are possible, and then you think of, say, someone who takes a yoga class or who lifts weights and does a full body, or somebody who even exercises in ways that moves their body more than one plane, you start to literally lubricate the joints and let the joints repair. So exercise on a global scale is really critical to helping the joints move. And on a minimal scale, even just stretching will help the joints to move. Now, a local form of lack of movement in the spine particularly is what we call subluxation.
I know what that is now.
You do? Okay, tell us.
It's when your spine compresses and it affects the nerves in your back.
That's pretty good, Mike.
Spinal column or something like that.
You're coming along.
I kind of know what it is.
You're coming along. Well, let's start with the causes. Now, the causes of subluxation in the spine can be obvious trauma, like, say, car accidents, sports injuries, falls,
slips.
Jumping out of planes and not landing beautifully like Jessica did. And then there's also repetitive motion, especially if the spine isn't already healthy. So say a joint in the low back gets just even slightly misaligned. If you think about the way these joints are meant to move perfectly, if you even just 10 degrees tilt a bone and the spine is no longer moving properly, and then, of course, you do something repetitive.
Slouching while you play video games.
Yeah, or even something that could be healthy, like playing golf or swinging a baseball bat or raking leaves or gardening. A repetitive movement on a spine that's not tracking properly will start creating a locking in the spine where other parts of the spine have to compensate. One area is not moving properly, and over time, the spine will degenerate. And that's what's interesting is when people come in and we find degeneration, it's not necessarily the whole spine. I mean, it's not uncommon to find degeneration at one particular joint. And that right there proves it's not just an age disease or a wear and tear.
It's how they're moving it, right?
It's how their lack of motion from subluxation, and then the body is trying to compensate for that. Okay. So obviously, an ideal situation would be to allow your body to get proper alignment. So when you move your joints, because, you know, even exercise, how critical it is to keep the joint healthy. If you're exercising on a spine that's not moving properly, you actually can speed up the arthritis. Does that make sense?
You could damage it, yeah.
You could. So the way that you would do that is you would have a qualified chiropractor who really looks at joint mechanics, determine if your spine is lined up and moving properly. And if it's not, that potentially, depending on how much arthritis is already there, potentially that can be improved or corrected. And that's really critical for anyone to do of any age, because even if you're young, there likely is going to be no arthritis, but you want to get the joints moving properly from a young age.
And so, avoid it.
Right. So as you grow, everything is lined up properly. You can avoid it. You know, and adjustments to help with alignment can be very gentle, and children love them. And then lastly, and no one wants to hear this, making sure you keep your weight healthy. Mm-hmm. Did you know that every 10 pounds of excess weight increases the risk of osteoarthritis in the knees by 30%.
It's a lot of wear and tear on them.
Yeah, so we'll have people come in who are, say, you know, 50 to 100 pounds overweight, and their knees hurt. You know, and it doesn't matter if we're adjusting them all day long and they're eating the perfect foods. If there's that extra pressure on the joints, obviously the body's not necessarily designed to hold the load. So as much as that requires sometimes major lifestyle changes, it can be one of the best things you do for your joint and bone health. I'd like to leave you with the concept, if you haven't had your spine checked, that is a critical first step in preventing and helping your body deal with arthritis.
Yeah, see what your x-rays look like.
Uh-oh.
You know, some people are so scared to do that. It's so empowering, though, isn't it?
It's eye-opening.
I think it's cool.
I never had any idea what my spine looked like.
Well, you know, I even though I've gotten adjusted regularly since I was 14, I take an x-ray, you know, every 3, 4, 5 years just to make sure nothing new is happening. You know, actually, we took an x-ray of my spine last week, and I was happy that actually it looked healthier than it had 3 years prior, you know, and no arthritis in my spine. And
that's not a shocker.
I work at it, though.
That's right.
I work at it. So I hope that this can help, and make sure you share these podcasts with others, because like we said, this is such a prevalent condition in our society and we need to help understand it. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.